What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I'm going to be on vacation next week. I'll be headed to Las Vegas to check out the Backstreet Boys at the Sphere. So there ain't going to be no shows Monday or Friday. I'm taking the whole week off because it's the All-Star break anyway, so there ain't going to be shit to talk about. There's going to be no shows next week, and I'll be back on Monday, July 20th with a brand new show. So let's get into today's show. Since it's kind of a sports fan purgatory 2.0, and we're headed into the All-Star break for baseball, I decided we're going to do kind of like random topics show where I pick some topics from baseball, basketball, and football to just kind of talk about because, like I said, not a lot is going on right now. So let's start off with baseball. And, since it's the halfway point, I'm just going to go ahead and touch base on all the division leaders, the wild card spots, and the statistics leaders, and then also the potential trades that are going to be coming up at the trade deadline here. So let's start off with the National League and how things are looking in the National League right now. Beginning with the National League East, right now the Atlanta Braves are holding on to the division. Good thing for them, they got out to a really nice start and got themselves a nice lead because the Phillies are closing in, but the Braves are holding down the National League East right now. 54-38 record, but the Phillies are right on their ass, and they are only three games back. And, I keep talking about the Phillies. I think the Phillies are probably the most dangerous team heading into the second half of the season. I mean, they've been really good to start the first half of the season. It wasn't that great to start. Then they fired their manager, but here they are. And they have looked really good. This is a really talented team. And like I continue to reiterate, this is probably one of the few teams that's going to be able to keep up with the Dodgers in a seven-game series because they've got the pitching depth to keep up with the Dodgers' pitching depth. And then they've also got the scoring as well, offensively. You know, they've got Schwarber, they've got Harper, they've got Trey Turner, and then, of course, the Dodgers have every motherfucker in the league. So I kind of feel like the Phillies are probably going to end up taking this division at some point if the Braves just can't turn it around. But it's been real struggle for the Braves lately. I mean, they started off the season hot, looking great, and then all of a sudden, boom, they just took a complete nosedive and have not played good baseball in about a month right now. Then the National League Central, the Milwaukee Brewers are atop the National League Central with a 59-34 regular season record right now. And the Chicago Cubs are right on that ass, but they are seven games back. So the Brewers have a really solid lead over the Cubs. The Cubs have had a very streaky season, but don't count this Cubs team out. They are very talented and very good, but so are the Brewers. The Brewers are, they've just been playing probably the most consistent baseball all season. They really haven't had a losing slump. Their starting pitchers have been pretty consistent the entire year. They've been getting a lot of offensive production from a bunch of different dudes, and then defensively they're great too. So I don't know. I kind of feel like Milwaukee's going to hold on to this division lead, but don't count out the Cubs at all. This team's very good. They've already had two 10-game winning streaks, so we know what they're capable of, but they've also had a 10-game losing streak as well. So we know that they're capable of falling back. But I just look at this division, and this is going to be a very, very crazy division, probably all the way till the bitter end. And then rounding out the National League with the National League West, the Dodgers, of course, are on top with their 61-33 regular season record. So they are the first team to 60 wins on the season. What a shock. And the second team behind them in the National League West right now is the Arizona Diamondbacks. They are 14.5 games back. So it's only the midway point through the season, but I think it's safe to say that the Dodgers have a stranglehold on the National League West. It's basically going to take the most insane, epic collapse for them to lose this division. So the Dodgers obviously not only have a stranglehold on the division, but they are looking really good right now. They're getting a lot of guys back from the injured list. And there's no weakness with this team. There really is not much of a weakness. It's basically going to be, we're going to need one team to just step it up and give it all they got and hopefully take down the Dodgers once we hit the postseason to prevent them from winning a third World Series in a row. But at this point, they are looking like they are hot to trot and ready to win their third World Series in a row. Then in the wild card right now for the National League, if the playoffs were to start today, the Chicago Cubs, The Philadelphia Phillies and the Miami Marlins would be the three wild card spots, with right now the St. Louis Cardinals, the Washington Nationals, and the Pittsburgh Pirates all hovering there. And I mean, it's still very early to really even discuss wild card, but I just kind of wanted to throw it out there. Those teams would be in the wild card spots if the playoffs were to begin today. Then turning to the American League East, right now the Tampa Bay Rays still have a hold on their division with their 54-37 regular season record. They right now hold a four-game lead over the New York Yankees, who are really struggling right now. But that's kind of the thing with both the Rays and the Yankees. They are very streaky, and we all know once the Yankees get Aaron Judge back and start getting healthy, Fried too, they're missing Max Fried as well. Once they get two of their top caliber players back, they should be fine. And I mean, the American League is not very good at all. So don't expect the Yankees to not be in the playoffs. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked if the Yankees still end up winning their division. You know, the Rays have played great baseball so far, but they have their weaknesses. And like I said, the Yankees get Aaron Judge back. The Yankees get Max Fried back. They look like a completely different team. And they've still played well in spite of those two injuries. I mean, it's just right now they're slumping pretty hard. But we'll see what happens as the second half of the season gets going. But I expect this division to be a battle till probably the last week of baseball. Then turning to the American League Central, right now the Chicago White Sox, technically they are tied with the Cleveland Guardians for the lead. But if the playoffs were to start, the Chicago White Sox have percentage points over the Guardians right now in the division. The Chicago White Sox regular season record right now is 47-45, but they are right there tied with the Guardians. The Guardians are going to get Jose Ramirez back, so things could completely turn around for them. And I mean, to me, the American League Central is probably, well, I don't know, the West is up for grabs as well, too, now that I really look at it. But the Central and the West are, you really can't pinpoint a team that's going to win it right now. The White Sox definitely playing really solid baseball, definitely playing better than they've played in the last couple of seasons. But the Guardians are just always that team that digs deep and is always in it till the bitter end. And then once we hit the playoffs, whoop, there they are. They always are there. So I never count out the Guardians. And like I said, they get Ramirez back. And while the White Sox, you know, they get Murakami back actually this weekend. So just another dude to bolster their already astounding offense at this point. The White Sox, I really like what they're doing, but just do not count out the Guardians. And really, you can't count out the Twins either. The Twins are hovering in this division as well. So I just kind of look at this division, and I kind of feel like anybody can take this Central division. And then it's the same thing with the American League West. Right now, the Texas Rangers have the lead with a 47-46 regular season record over the Seattle Mariners, but only by half a game. It's been back and forth between them and the Mariners. And then right now, the Astros kind of getting it going right now. I don't think the Astros are going to be able to maintain it for a while. But then you really think about it, and it's like, well, this is a team that knows how to win. Even though they're not the same team, they still got a lot of their savvy veterans who have been with this team through thick and thin. So it's not like they can't dig deep and take this division. The Rangers, they're way, way too streaky for me. I kind of feel like this division is more going to be taken by the Mariners or the Astros. I kind of feel like the Astros could get going here, especially because Yordan Alvarez is having a fantastic year. I mean, not really talking about him a lot because I haven't really been talking a lot about the Astros because they've pretty much been garbage for the most part this season. But Alvarez, he has been having an MVP caliber year. He has been insane this season. So I don't know. I feel like the Astros can kind of creep in there, but I feel like the Mariners are probably going to ultimately end up winning this division because the Rangers don't have a lot of consistency. But I mean, it's really difficult to really pinpoint to any one of these teams with any type of consistency. And then the American League wild card is looking like the New York Yankees, the Cleveland Guardians, and the Seattle Mariners hold the top three spots right now with the Twins, the Houston Astros, and the Toronto Blue Jays all lingering there. But like I said, it's kind of the same thing. Everybody's still in it at this point. But that's how we're looking if the playoffs were to begin today. Taking a look at who leads the stat lines right now. League leaders with home runs right now, Kyle Schwarber with 32 home runs. League leader in RBIs, Jordan Walker from the St. Louis Cardinals. He's leading the league right now with 73 RBI. And then another surprising statistical category here, leading the league in batting average. Otto Lopez of the Miami Marlins with a 345 batting average right now. The guy is money when he comes up to the plate. But didn't think I was going to be talking about Jordan Walker and Otto Lopez as league leaders, but here they are at the midway point of the season. And then turning to the pitching side, league leader with the lowest ERA right now, Jacob Mizorowski with 162 ERA. He also leads the league in strikeouts with 167 strikeouts, and then leading the league with saves. Cade Smith of the Cleveland Guardians leads the league with 27 saves. The Guardians are the craziest team when it comes to starting pitching and closers. They always can find aces at starting pitching who just come out of nowhere, and they're always able to find these gems when it comes to the relief pitcher and the closer. They just always are able to find gems every which way. And so it's crazy. I was actually really shocked to see that Cade Smith leads the league in saves right now. And then let's get into the potential trades. Since the trade deadline is a couple weeks away, there are, I'd say, three big names. You know, there's a bunch of guys who are obviously out there. There's a lot of struggling teams right now who are pretty much on the seller side of things. But I'm focusing on three dudes who are going to be, I would call, game changers, who could definitely take teams to another level and really just cap off teams that are, you know, kind of right there at World Series potential, or even like right there on the outskirts of the playoffs. They really just need like one more starting pitcher to kind of round things out, or one more really solid player. And these are the three that I feel like are the best potential trades out there. Beginning with Tarek Skubal of the Detroit pitcher, starting pitcher. I don't get why they want to get rid of him. To me, he's probably the best pitcher in the game right now. But there's just something going on with the contract, and they just don't really want to pay him. Okay. But he's just been fantastic. So if anybody trades for him, they are 100% getting a game changer. I don't care if he's been injured this season, because, you know, he's been battling through the injuries, but so fucking what? He's still Tarek Skubal. As a San Francisco Giants fan, if I heard they were trading for him, I would be screaming from the fucking rooftops that we got Skubal. I love this dude. But the trade market for him, obviously huge. I don't know if the Tigers are going to pull the trigger on this one, because it seems like they like him, they want him to stay, but it just kind of feels like one of those things where they're not going to re-sign him, they're not going to give him the extension that he wants, and so you might as well trade him and get the value that you can from him. But at the same time, I'm looking at like, man, this is Tarek Skubal. He is a badass pitcher. He's probably going to be one of the top pitchers in the league for at least the next five-ish years still. That's how dominating I think he is. So whoever gets him, if anybody ends up trading for him, they're getting a powerhouse. And they're, of course, saying the Dodgers are one of the teams that's potentially looking at him. The Phillies are also another team that's potentially looking at him. But at the end of the day, we don't really know if he's actually going to go anywhere. And I don't think the Tigers could lose anything by keeping Skubal as well. Then also another potential trade. This guy's been a potential trade for many years and is still with the same team, and that is Sandy Alcantara with the Miami Marlins. You know, as I've said over the last couple of weeks, maybe month-ish, it kind of feels like the Marlins are not going to trade him because they're playing really solid baseball right now. You know, like I just recapped, they are in the works right now for the wild card, and they are actually still in it for their division as well. They're in a tough division, and I don't expect them to win their division, but they're still in it. And so, you know, I feel like Alcantara is probably going to stay put, especially with the Marlins playing solid baseball right now, and they're definitely going to need him if they want to make a run. But at the same time, he's great trade value. He's playing top-notch baseball. You know, he came back. He's bouncing back from an injury. Great. I mean, he was injured for the majority of last season, I believe. So he's bouncing back hard this year. He's playing. He looks like the old Sandy Alcantara, basically. So whoever gets him is getting a solid pitcher, but I really wouldn't be shocked if he ends up staying with the Marlins as well. And then the last one, which I was actually really shocked by, especially because this is probably the most shocking team of the year it's the Washington Nationals, but they're talking about potentially trading one of their top-notch young cats, and that's C.J. Abrams, their shortstop. He's been a solid dude for them the last couple of seasons, and he's been right up there for them offensively, but he has a lot of great trade value, and that's what I was reading. It's just that his potential trade value is what could push them over the edge to trade him. But, you know, if I'm them, I'm hanging on to him because they're building a really solid roster right now with a lot of these young cats that they've got. And I just kind of feel like they could only keep it moving with Abrams. But also at the same time, maybe they could move Abrams and get a couple of more dudes to help them in the long run. But I don't know. We'll see. I found that really shocking. I kind of feel like all three are shocking. Not really as much Alcantara, just because the Marlins are known for getting rid of dudes, but I guess so are the Tigers. But we'll see what happens with those three guys. Those three guys seem to be the top-notch, top-tier players that we could see moving. But, of course, we're going to see, you know, a bunch of other guys get out there as well. So let's move on to the NBA topics and just the top NBA offseason storylines of the offseason, basically, for me, is what we're going to do. Beginning with number one is obviously LeBron James. He's going to be a free agent this season, and he hasn't said it's his last season. I mean, he played at a super high level last year, so who knows if it's going to end up being his last year, but he's definitely going to have suitors because he's LeBron James. For me personally, I'm happy that he's no longer going to be a Laker. I'm over the LeBron James show. I'm over kowtowing to him. I'm over bowing down to his every fucking request and his every fucking whiny ass move. I don't care for that let's stroke the ego of this motherfucker type of thing. I've never been that way. I don't give two shits and a fuck about narcissists. I literally can't stand people who bow down to narcissists, and that's what most people do to LeBron. I mean, don't get me wrong. One of the greatest players to ever play basketball is LeBron James, but it just irks me watching how many people just suck this dude's dick and just roll out the red carpet for him. I mean, nobody loves himself more than LeBron James, than LeBron fucking James. I mean, honestly, to keep it quite real, I don't know who's a bigger narcissist. Him or Taylor Swift, you know, having to hear about her dumbass wedding bullshit for the last couple of weeks. I can't figure out who's a bigger narcissist and who loves themselves more and who wants to just think about themselves the most between the two of them. It's probably pretty fucking equal, but Jesus Christ, the two of them couldn't be more narcissistic. They're the epitome of what a narcissist is. If you need to look at the definition of narcissist, it's LeBron James and Taylor Swift. That is those two. Anyways, back to narcissist LeBron James. That's what the whole offseason is going to surround by. He's already said, oh, I'm going to take my time with my almighty decision, blah, blah, blah. And don't get me wrong, he should take his time with his almighty decision, but Jesus fucking Christ, every goddamn day I'm getting some stupid update of, oh, this team's going after him. Oh, somebody's sending him love letters today. Oh my God, this is what, I don't give a shit, honestly. Go to a team and play great basketball, because that's probably what you're going to do, but thankfully it's not going to be with the Lakers. And like I said, as a Lakers fan, I am happy about it. I am sick to death of the rolling out the fucking red carpet and what does LeBron think of this player and this move? Don't give a shit. And thankfully, I don't have to deal with it anymore. So deuces, dude. Thank you for the championship in 2020, but deuces. Get the fuck out of here. But we'll see where he ends up going. At this point, everybody's going after him. There isn't really a pinpointed team. It's always, of course, the Cavaliers are a top team to go after him because it's the Cavaliers. You know, he's from Cleveland. They drafted him. He won a championship there. It wouldn't be a shock for him to end his career there either. But at this point, everybody's in on it. They're talking about the Philadelphia 76ers, the Golden State Warriors, the Cleveland Cavaliers, even the New York Knicks, but they're like, oh no, he ain't going to the Knicks now because they won a championship, so he don't need to go there now. And it's like, just shut the fuck up. Y'all just need to create all these dumb storylines so we keep talking about stupid-ass, egomaniac, fucking LeBron goddamn James. So we all know that's the number one storyline of the offseason. Now let's talk about a few other storylines in the offseason. The next, he's a restricted free agent, but it's looking like he's going to be on the move, is Jalen Duren with the Detroit Pistons. I mean, he's been a standout center since they drafted him, but it doesn't look like they really want to pay him the money either. And so they're probably going to end up doing a sign and trade. I don't know why you'd want to get rid of him. I mean, I kind of feel like, yes, he faded away in the playoffs, but you're not going to give the dude another chance. I mean, that was kind of like his first playoff run. You're not going to just give him another chance. And I just kind of, I look at it and I feel like they've been building, but I mean, they may just want to get rid of him and try and maybe see if they could get a couple other good players in return, because they would definitely get a haul for whoever is interested in trading for his services. But he's definitely going to be one of the top-notch dudes people are going after. Then at number three on my NBA offseason storylines, Peyton Watson. He's another top-notch guy people are going to be going after. It looks like the Nuggets not really interested in going after him because they kind of have a lot of guys they have to pay right now. So they kind of have to make their choices and their decisions on who they're going to sign and re-sign. And it kind of looks like Peyton Watson's on the outside looking in right now. But whoever gets Peyton Watson, I think is getting a really talented player. He just lit it up this year and really stepped it up. Every time somebody was injured this year, Peyton Watson was the dude to step it up for the Nuggets. And he just really had a standout year. And I think he did nothing but bolster his resume to let people know, yo, I'm going to be a game changer for your team. So sign me up. But he's definitely, I think, going to be one of the top guys to look at in the offseason. The next NBA offseason storyline, which is just weird and random, this Kawhi Leonard trade. He was supposed to be traded back to the Toronto Raptors. You know, it happened, I think, 2 weeks ago. They said they're going to trade him. Now, of course, you know, the NBA offseason, it works like this. The trades, some of these contracts, they aren't official until the NBA season officially kicks off, which it did this week. So some of the things like the Giannis trade, they said it was happening, but it hadn't happened and been finalized just yet when they said it was announced. Same thing with Kawhi. And basically, if you don't know, the Los Angeles Clippers right now are under investigation for possibly paying Kawhi Leonard, basically funneling money through other channels. It's very convoluted, and I'm not going to really get too into the weeds about it, but it looks like the Clippers were trying to circumvent the salary cap and pay Kawhi Leonard through different sources, which is completely illegal. And this investigation has been going on for 10 months, and we don't really know when it's going to come to an end. And if the Toronto Raptors trade for Kawhi Leonard, basically what they were told is that if there are any, like if he gets suspended, let's say Kawhi Leonard, when this is all said and done, ends up getting suspended for a year. And I'm just throwing that out there. There's nothing out there saying that's going to happen. I'm just throwing out an example. Let's just say that's what happens at the end of this investigation. He's suspended for next year. The Raptors would be they would have to take that on, and they don't want to take that on. So, and I don't blame them, because why would you want to trade for a player who's not going to be playing next year? You want to trade for a player who is playing next year, especially of the caliber of Kawhi Leonard. So that trade is on hold until all of that gets worked out. So we'll see what happens with that. There's no timetable on when that's going to get worked out. As I said, it's been an ongoing investigation for 10 months. So I would imagine that it's around the corner, but at the same time, we don't know that. So that trade is on hold and may not even happen because of all the bullshit that the stupid-ass Los Angeles Clippers may or may not have done. And then rounding out the NBA offseason storylines, we've got Summer League basketball already going on. You know, the draft just happened a couple of weeks ago, and when you get drafted in the NBA, you are playing in a couple of weeks. And so we've got Summer League basketball going on right now, and a few of the notable names that are going to be playing, of course, Cam Boozer with the Memphis Grizzlies. He already played a Summer League game and lit it up. I mean, no shock. I actually expect Cameron Boozer to live up to every expectation that we have placed upon him. You know, it is just summer league, but when you show out already, it tells me something. And I just liked what the way he was playing in his first summer league game, and he's already lighting it up. Then, of course, you've got A.J. DeBanta with the Washington Wizards. He already, himself, he and, oh my God, I can't remember the other rookie's name, Johnson, I believe it was. They already had a crazy showdown last night. So look out for DeBanta to light it up in the summer league. And then Caleb Wilson with the Chicago Bulls, very talented center. We'll see what he's able to do. But NBA summer league basketball already going on. As a matter of fact, I just realized when I'm in Vegas that it's going to be going on. I'm considering going. I may or may not go. I do have an open day where I could go if I want to. And it's actually not expensive at all. It's only like $50 to watch all of the games, by the way. So I may or may not end up going to check out some summer league games. It's just going to depend on if I feel like going that way or not. But we'll see. But definitely look out for, I mean, these dudes are already lighting it up, and now we can see what happens with the rest of the summer league for the rookies. Now let's get into some NFL training camp storylines, because training camps begin in about 2.5-3 weeks here, guys. We are headed full steam ahead into football season. That's the shitty thing about Sports Fan Purgatory 2.0 when it's MLB All-Star break. You know, there's not a lot of sports to talk about, but once we get past the All-Star break, that means football season's here. I mean, once training camp starts, it's on. It is on. So we might as well start talking about football, because there are some things that are going to be happening. Now, first, my first storyline is actually not really an NFL storyline. It's a personal little rant I have about my NFL.com fantasy football league. I have had an NFL.com fantasy football league for about 20 fucking years now. And ESPN took over NFL media a few months ago. And with that, they shut down the NFL.com app. And with that, they're transferring NFL.com fantasy football over to ESPN.com fantasy football. Now, I wouldn't have a problem with that if they would have, you know, ended up transferring our fucking leagues over to ESPN, but that's not what they fucking did. As a matter of fact, a couple of months ago, they said that's what was going to happen. Oh, no worries. Everything's going to be transferred over to ESPN. Well, last weekend, I go to try and set up my motherfucking league, and I can't set things up like I normally can. And I'm like, what's going on here? So sadly, I had to kind of troll through fucking Reddit boards to try and figure this out. And then also kind of contact customer service along the way as well. And come to find out, none of our shit is getting transferred over. The reason why I'm pissed off about this is a 20 fucking year league. Which means I have an entire history of who's won the league every fucking year. And it just, that's what pisses me off. You know, I've already restarted a new league. I've re-invited dudes who were already in my league. I'm going to need to replace a couple of people. I was already going to be working on that anyways. If you're interested, hit me up. I got a couple of spots to fill in my fantasy football league. I went to Yahoo because that's what I personally prefer. You know, NFL.com's fantasy football league, football was kind of getting obsolete over the last kind of couple of years anyways. So I wasn't happy with the service, but I'm really pissed off, like really fucking pissed off. And I know this is relatable to a few of you other people out there who also had NFL.com fantasy football leagues and are in the same predicament as me, because it sucks losing all that history. It really sucks. But so fuck you, ESPN, as if I didn't hate you idiots even more. Now you've given me another reason to hate your stupid asses even more. Because if you don't know, yes, I hate ESPN. I have not watched SportsCenter in, I think, about 10 years now. Because, A, ESPN talks about too many crappy sports I couldn't give two shits in a fuck about. I've already told you I hate soccer. I hate golf. I hate tennis. I hate women's anything, and I don't like racing. I don't like most of the stupid sports that they showcase. So if they're going to talk about that crap, I'm just going to go watch other shit. But then also, when stupid-ass Colin Kaepernick and all that dumbass fucking kneeling happened, they had to fucking every goddamn day do the fucking recap of the stupid fucking kneeling report. And when you add politics into shit, that's when my motherfucking ass is out. And so I actually have always hated ESPN for quite some time now, just because they've been raping me with all their stupid crappy sports that I don't give a shit about, and then raping me with political garbage too, which I really don't give a shit about. So I went over to NFL Network and MLB TV and NBA TV because I prefer to just hear about sports. Unfortunately, ESPN is taking them all over, so I'm sure they're going to be injecting all their crappy polititard bullshit any day now to piss me off. But they started pissing me off by raping my fucking fantasy football league. So fuck you, ESPN. Anyway, now let's get on to real NFL storylines that most of you care about. I just had to rant about it because I know a few of you who run NFL.com fantasy football leagues probably feel me on that. So now let's talk about other NFL training camp storylines. The number one storyline that I think is lingering is Aaron Donald gonna make a comeback this year. So he retired 2 years ago, technically 2 years. He didn't play last season, but with the Rams trading for Myles Garrett, that's kind of already opened the doors of the rumors that Aaron Donald may come back. Now, Aaron Donald is the type of dude who's kept in shape while not playing, because I think he's always had it in the back of his mind that, yes, I'm retired, but yes, I could still play. And if the opportunity arises, maybe I'll come back. And this would be a good opportunity for him. I mean, Myles Garrett and Aaron Donald on the same defense? Just think about how nasty that is. Two of the greatest defensive linemen ever on the same team? Yeah. That alone, I think, would get Aaron Donald to come back. But at the same time, does he want to put up with the regular grind? Does he want, or did he just really retire for real a couple years ago? We'll see. But if he comes back, whoa. Look out for it, y'all. That's going to be a nasty-ass defense. But even without him, it's going to be a nasty-ass defense. Next NFL training camp storyline, Max Crosby. We had the weirdo-ass thing happen where Max Crosby was traded months ago, before the draft even. He was traded to the Baltimore Ravens. And then a couple weeks after the draft, they're like, eh, just kidding, we're not trading for him. And all offseason, it's been, what's going to happen with Max Crosby? Is he going to stay with the Raiders, or are they going to move him? And I kind of feel like we're going to be talking about, if he does not get traded at some point during this offseason, I think we're going to be talking about Max Crosby getting traded all the way up until the trade deadline. Because obviously, if the Raiders suck, which is more than likely going to happen, he's going to be trade bait. I mean, he already is trade bait. He's been trade bait. I mean, he's Max fucking Crosby. He's an excellent defensive end. So anybody's going to want him. And as a Cowboys fan, can't say I wouldn't be upset if they traded for him. Ever since that happened with the Ravens, kind of like nixing the trade, it hasn't been a lot of trade. It just hasn't been as fiery of trade talk with Max Crosby. They've talked about the Cowboys. They've talked about the Niners. They've talked about a couple other teams, but it really hasn't sounded that serious just yet. But I kind of feel like whether or not it happens before training camp, I feel like we're going to be hearing about Max Crosby getting traded from the Raiders all season up until the trade deadline. Another guy I think we're going to be hearing about potentially getting traded up until the trade deadline. Now, I think this depends on how things go with this team, which I feel like is the theme of this team, and that is the Cleveland Browns and Shedeur Sanders. What's going to happen with Shedeur? I mean, you know, obviously he had the weird season last year where he ends up getting drafted in, like, what, the sixth round by the Browns, and just completely falling, and then they have their entire season where they're doing the rotating quarterback as they normally do, and that's kind of how this offseason has gone, because Stupid-ass Deshaun Watson, you know, he's coming back from his Achilles injury. And you've got Shedeur Sanders. Now, if I'm the Browns, I'm going Shedeur. Fuck Deshaun Watson. This dude has been a garbage can quarterback since the day they traded for him. He's been injured, and he's just garbage. I don't even know what the fuck this guy is still even doing on this Cleveland Browns team. Probably because they have to pay him all this stupid money. But anyways, if I'm choosing between these two, I'm going with Shedeur. I'd rather have the future of the franchise in front of me and have to deal with a bunch of... You're dealing with crappy football either way. Whoever is your quarterback, Shedeur or Deshaun, your team sucks either way. So at least with Shedeur, you got like a future. Deshaun Watson, what the fuck do you got? Probably more lawsuits is what you got with that stupid idiot. But with Shedeur, I kind of feel like, is he going to get traded? Is he going to start this year? Because like I said, the Browns, they have about 25 quarterbacks on their roster right now. And they haven't said who's going to be the starter. They haven't said really anything about what's going to happen at quarterback. And then there's a lot of teams that want Shedeur Sanders. Whether they want him as a starter or whether they maybe want him as a backup to potentially end up starting at some point, I don't know. But I feel like there's going to be a handful of teams looking for Shedeur Sanders. And in my personal opinion, if you're the Browns, you either trade him or you start him, because Deshaun Watson sucks, and I don't see why you would play that stupid idiot. But hey, they owe him a lot of money, so they're probably going to play him anyways. But I feel like Shedeur Sanders is going to be that dude we're talking about as well, where we could be talking about him all the way up to the trade deadline also. And then my last NFL training camp storyline is, are we going to have a Super Bowl hangover from the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots? Because they were such random teams that weren't really expected to make it where they did. The Seahawks, to me, they're in a division with the Rams to start. So I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be a good thing for y'all or not. But I just kind of feel like they had such a fluky year that I wouldn't be shocked if the Seattle Seahawks completely fall off this year. The New England Patriots, on the other hand, I think they're absolutely going to fall off. Number one, if I hear any stupid, fake, phony, integrity bullshit from Coach Mike Vrabel this year, he can go fuck himself. This is an asshole who has spent his entire offseason riddled in drama with this fucking Diana Russini bullshit. If you don't know, this dude's been fucking her. Diana Russini used to work for The Athletic. She had to resign a few months ago due to all this soiree she's been having with Mike Vrabel, who's a married coach who she was fucking and, you know, helping the New England Patriots get... put storylines out there and help them get potential trades and help them get potential free agents. And, you know, he got caught up and the media found the two of them off in Arizona having a fun little time with each other. And then that shit all blew up in their face this year. And then Diana Russini had to resign from her position with The Athletic because she's a whore and has no credibility. And guess what? I feel the same thing about all the coaches. Mike Vrabel is not the only coach involved in this. Sean McVay of the Rams, the old Pittsburgh Steelers coach, Mike Tomlin, and who else? The Philadelphia Eagles coach. Oh my God, drawing a blank on his stupid ass fucking name right now. Oh my God. How am I forgetting the name of the stupid ass Eagles coach? Nick Sirianni, Jesus Christ. But yeah, there's a handful of these coaches who've been fucking this bitch, and you know, they've been helping each other out with storylines and leverage throughout the NFL. So like I said, if I feel like the Patriots are absolutely going to fall back this year just because of all the drama surrounding them. And like I said, if I hear one stupid, fake, phony, idiotic speech from Mike Vrabel this year about integrity and all this and that and all the fake phony crap that coaches are always spewing. I hear any of that shit, I'm probably going to fucking shoot my goddamn TV up because I hate hearing that fake phony crap from fake phony motherfuckers like that. In my opinion, Mike Vrabel should not even have a job after all the shit that happened in this offseason, but he's a man and he took his team to the Super Bowl, so he's going to get to keep his job, unlike Diana Russini. Anyways, that's my second rant for the show. That's it. That's my rants. Heading into vacation. Couple of crazy rants from crazy cracker Katie Trapp. So enjoy the next couple of weeks of sports, y'all. It's going to be very light with the sports, which is why my ass is heading to Vegas. Going to be out there jamming out to the Backstreet Boys at the Sphere. Yep, that's how I do. Going to be acting like a little 15-year-old. Yeah, Backstreet Boys, Backstreet Boys. No lie. No fucking lie, y'all. Going to be out there singing every fucking song. Oh, having a great time. And I'm going to enjoy it. So y'all enjoy the next couple of weeks of sports. And I will talk to you fools on Monday, July 20th.